Grace, peace, and mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one who receives sinners like the Canaanite woman, like you and I. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Matthew 15. We pray to our Lord. Lord, we beg today, we cry today for a mere crumb from your table. For that little crumb is enough to take away all sin and deliver us from hell and save us to eternal life. Give us your word, soon the sacrament, feed your church that we leave satisfied. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were a dog, what type of dog would you be? Well, a lot of us are good old German Lutherans, so wouldn't we want to be a German Shepherd? Big, strong, beautiful, handsome dog, athletic. Well, that wouldn't be me anymore. Probably never was. Some of us might describe ourselves as a Chihuahua. Chihuahuas are kind of a type A dog, aren't they? They're just intense, and they yap and yap, and they're alert and yap. Maybe that's you. You talk a lot, you're intense, you're always doing something. And then there's pit bulls, Mr. Hines. Just kidding. Pat's a golden retriever. Pit bulls are kind of mean and scary. Oh, stay away. And then some of us, we might be that golden retriever. Sensitive, soft, loving, kind, playful. As pastor, you might call pastors big, goofy sheepdogs. Our job is to have you chasing the shepherd. Stay after the shepherd. We hound after you. Stay after the shepherd. He's the one that can take care of you. Why do I ask such a question? Well, in the gospel lesson, Jesus calls us dogs. I don't call you dogs, he does. And it's one of those gospel lessons where Jesus appears to be a little rude, standoffish to this poor Canaanite Gentile woman who comes begging. And she's begging because her daughter has a demon. And Jesus says to her, it is not right to take the children's bread. The children are the Jews, the people of Israel, to take their bread. That's mercy. That's Jesus. And throw it to the dogs. Meaning, I didn't really come for you, dogs. Not yet anyway. He calls her a dog. The foreigners are dogs. And she accepts the title. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus says, oh, what great faith this woman has. So Jesus calls us dogs. Be a dog. And as I'm going to show you here in a moment, that's not all that demeaning. It's actually quite an endearing term. It's better to be called a sheep. He calls us that too. What can we learn from a dog? Let me talk about three things. Dogs are a great example for us. That's why the Lord calls her a dog, because many of us have dogs. Dogs are a very popular pet. And dogs are a wonderful example for the church, as the woman is the dog of the story. Great example. This woman is one of the greatest examples we have in the whole Bible. Jesus rarely ever says someone has great faith. He says it, I think, one other time to the centurion, when he asked Jesus to heal his servant, and Jesus says, yes, it's going to happen. And the servant, Jesus says, well, what great faith he has. Haven't found that in Israel. And now this woman, what great faith she has. A centurion, a Gentile, and this Gentile woman, they have great faith, whereas the Jews don't really have that much faith. So she's a high example as a dog, if you will, in the story. Three things. First of all, dogs are generally humble. Generally, they have their times, but they're obedient, they're submissive, aren't they? And the term here for dog that Jesus uses, there are two Greek words normally that we translate dog. One is for the wild dog, the stray dog, the mean, vicious dog that's eating garbage and scaring children. That's not the term he uses. He doesn't call her a wild dog out in the street. The other term is for the pet dog, the pet that's in the home. That gets to eat there in the home, perhaps, and is petted and loved and cared for. Many of us have pet dogs that we love dearly. That's the term he uses. So it's quite an endearing term. We're God's pets, if you will. As I said, it's better to be called sheep. Sheep really aren't pets. They're just out in the pasture. And we love that term, too. Whatever you want to call us, God, as long as we belong to you, is a teaching here. But normally, typically, a pet dog is quite humble in the home and quite submissive and obedient to their master. And this woman is a wonderful example of humility. This is how the church approaches Jesus. Oh, the humility that she has that God's wrought in her heart. Notice what she calls Jesus. Lord, Lord, Master. Not hey you, not buddy, but Lord, Lord, Master. You're my King, you're God, you're Master. And notice that she doesn't say a whole lot either. Her prayer is very short. Have mercy, help me. She doesn't go on and on and on trying to convince Jesus to help her. She just prays a short, simple prayer. Have mercy, help me. This is the church. We don't have to go on and on and on. That's often a sign of arrogance, of my flowery words. Look at how I can pray. Can't I impress you, God, by how I pray? Just be short and simple. God knows what you need. Be humble. Have mercy. Forgive me. Help me. And God will do it. And then she kneels before the feet of Jesus. The highlight of the story, she gets on her knees before Jesus. Your will be done. Please help me. I'm your slave, I'm your servant, and you're my King. This is her great faith, humility before God. And where is it in the church today? You know, Pastor Couch, he sometimes jokingly will walk into church, and you know what you say to me on occasion, and we smile and joke. He says, Pastor Busher, in all humility, I'm glad you got to see me today. Ha, ha, ha. We have a nice little joke. But there's truth in that. That's about as humble as I ever get, because I'm glad you got to see me today too, Pastor. That's the way we are. It's all about me. Aren't you glad you get to see me? Because the world revolves around me because I'm so special. Look at me. And that's the way our kids are raised today, and we are. Look at me. And where's the humility at the feet of Jesus? Why is this woman humble? Well, not because she has some special character that we don't have. I'm sure she was a proud, egotistical woman too in a lot of ways. She has a daughter who has a demon. And that'll put you on your knees if your kid has a demon. The trial and suffering of life has broken this woman. And she's humble. You have trials, you have sufferings, you have diseases. One thing God in love is doing is knocking you to your knees before Himself. Humble yourself. I help the humble. Secondly, dogs and this woman likewise are often very, very, very hungry. You ever meet a dog that's not hungry? If a dog's not hungry, we often say, that dog is sick. That dog won't eat. There's something wrong with that dog. Because dogs almost are always hungry, and they know where to eat from their master. They know where their bowl is. They know where the fridge is. They know where you give them snacks. They know where the treat bag is. They know. And they're hungry. And they eat. And they want even more. And they stare at the food and stare at the food. And they wag their tail. And they do tricks because they want that food. They're hungry. And oh, how hungry this woman is. She knows what she needs. The mercy of the Son of God. Only He can help. Doctors can't help. She can't help. She has nothing to offer Christ. She doesn't say, look at all the good things I've done. Let me give you money, Jesus. Let me bribe you somehow. She just, have mercy. I'm a pathetic human being. My daughter's got a demon. Have mercy. I throw myself at your feet. I'm hungry. I need you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. Only you can deliver me. And this is great faith. Where we hunger and desire for nothing but Christ. And Him crucified. We love the Word of God. We love the sacrament. We love absolution. We love the house of God. We can't wait to come. We're up early. We run. We come. We bring the kids because it's Christ, the bread of life, and nothing else will deliver mankind. And yet, dogs are often more hungry than you and I. This woman travels to see Jesus. Now, of more importance, he travels to see her. And that's to be noted. He travels all the way up to Tyre and Sidon, Gentile area. The Son of God leaves the comfortable Jewish surroundings to go to Gentile area. Why? To see her. To save two lost sheep, her and her daughter. They're worth it. I'll travel miles, he says, to save these sheep. And she comes out to see him. And she cries and cries and cries for mercy. So much the disciples are bothered. Send her away. She's a bother. And then she does the incredible. No Gentile woman would ever do this. The picture is she's behind Jesus, crying from behind. Help me, help me. He's kind of ignoring her. And she keeps crying. She doesn't give up. And then the picture, she runs in front of him to get his attention. And she bows before him and makes him stop. She makes Jesus stop and he cries out, help me. She is breaking every social boundary there is. A Gentile woman invading the space of a Jewish rabbi? No, no. She's making him unclean. Invading his space. Perhaps even touching him. How dare she? She's hungry. No boundaries will keep me away from Jesus. And she knows his mercy. She's heard of his mercy, and he will not send her away. And she believes it. The pastor should never have to plead with people to come to church. Do you have to plead with your dog to eat? Come on, eat. Please eat, doggy. Dogs run and eat because they're hungry. And yet the church often isn't so hungry. And the minister writes letters and makes phone calls. Please come to church. Don't you realize what's here? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a Christian. You don't have to have a master's degree. Just be as smart as the dog in your house and eat and be hungry and want more. People often ask me, Pastor, what should we call you? Pastor, minister, Reverend Paul? And what do I say in jest? You can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. Ha ha ha. You've said the same thing. But that's what we ought to say to the world. World, call me whatever you want. Call me a dog, a sheep. I don't care. Just don't call me late for church. Don't call me late for the word. Don't call me late for the sacrament. For here's the bread of life, the bread of forgiveness, the bread of hope, the bread of heaven, the bread of resurrection. The bread that delivers mankind from hell. And why don't we get up and run and demand even more? Dogs do. Feed me more. Last of all, dogs are happy. You feed a dog and that dog will eat it up, lick his chops. You've seen a dog lick his chops. He wants every last little morsel on his lips. Then he usually wags his tail. He's a happy dog. He's fed. He goes and takes a nap. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. Thank you, Master. We're not told exactly what happens after this story, but I imagine the happiness, the joy of this dear woman. She's so happy. She's so joyful. When Jesus says the words, just a mere crumb, he says, be it done for you as you desire. A mere crumb there. What is it? 8 words? A little crumb. Be it done for you as you desire, woman. And notice she believes his word. She doesn't have a text message telling that her daughter's healed. She has to believe the word of Christ. And she runs home believing, my daughter's healed. I know it because he said so. And the joy when she gets home and she sees it. And this is the great faith of the church. We believe the word of Jesus. We're forgiven. We're baptized. We're saved. It's his body. It's his blood. Because he says so. And there's joy and contentment. For he's fed me with a mere crumb of his mercy and forgiveness. We learn here the power and the magnitude of a crumb of God's mercy. She just asked for a crumb from the table. Because she knows that Jesus has so much mercy. He has infinite mercy that a mere crumb is all she needs and that much more. Because he has so much more. What faith. The word and sacrament ought to overwhelm us. The grace that is here for my wretched sins. The forgiveness of God ought to overwhelm us. It's just a canyon. But to God on high, it's a crumb. What God gives us from his perspective is, here's a little crumb first, Luther. And I give a crumb over here. I give a crumb over here. I have so much it's endless. It's a little, it's just a little bit. But it takes away all our sins. And it delivers us from hell. The power of what we get here, as small as it seems, Christ, salvation. You know, in August when I was growing up, we had a Busher reunion in Illinois, and I had aunts and uncles there, and all the food laid out. My aunts made pies. One of my favorite pies is the strawberry rhubarb pie. Anybody like strawberry rhubarb? Have you ever heard of a rhubarb? You have. It's sour yet sweet, and I like that. And so my mom would tell me to be humble when I asked for a piece of pie from the aunt. Don't ask for too much, Polly. So I would humbly approach it. I was a 9-year-old boy. Can I have just a little piece of that strawberry rhubarb pie and maybe a scoop of ice cream? And my aunt would say, oh, yes, Polly. And what would she bring back? About half the pie and 5 scoops of ice cream. And that was overwhelming to a little boy. Oh, wow, this is heaven. But to her, it was a crumb. Because she had 5 or 6 or 7 other pies in the oven. Have half the pie, son. We're overwhelmed by forgiveness. Overwhelmed by the mercy of God. Yet to him, it's just a little crumb because they have so much more in the oven. So much more to give you, church. Dogs. First Lutheran dogs. We're a pack of dogs. It's an enduring term. God's pet. May we be humble. May we be hungry. And when we leave today, may we be happy. For the crumb is more than enough. Amen. We stand.